Hickory Dickory Dock. Have you heard that one? You might not have heard it this way. Hickory Dickory Dock. Three mice ran up the clock. The clock struck one, and the others escaped with minor injuries. Have you ever felt like the victim of time? Like time is your enemy? It's knocking you around and it's out of control? Well, actually, the original nursery rhyme really isn't any better. Hickory Dickory Dock, the mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one, and down he run. Hickory Dickory Dock. You probably don't sit around and think about nursery rhymes, but I admit I do. And I was like, okay, why did the mouse run up the clock to begin with? What did he accomplish? He apparently just ran up the clock, sat around there until it got 1 o'clock, and then he ran back down. Do you ever feel like that? You're running, 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 and you're just really not sure what you're accomplishing. Sometimes it just seems like we are at the mercy of the clock. I've often said or thought things like, I have very little control over my time. Time just gets away from me. How about you? Do you ever feel that way? Ever think those kinds of things? Well, we've been in a series on stewardship, and Pastor Brent helped us to learn how to better steward our talents, and Pastor Brian talked to us about how to better steward our treasure. And if you haven't figured it out already, I'm here to talk about how to be better stewards of our time. I might call it breaking the Hickory Dickory Dock syndrome. Okay, no, I won't call it that. There's supposed to be stuff up on the screen. Maybe they'll get that. So anyway, you feel like you are not the master of your time. Well, newsflash, you're not. Who is? God. None of us can add any days to our lives. None of us can take away any days to our lives or add any moments to each day. It's up to God. Ephesians 5:15 through 18 says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. And I'll tell you what, since the first time I read that scripture, I don't know how many years ago, it seems like things are getting eviler and eviler. So, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, but which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. So how do we make the most of whatever time is available to each of us? First, we need to acknowledge, as I said, that our time isn't ours. I tried to make myself go through this and say this without saying our time or my time. It's really hard. So every time I do say our time or my time or your time, just remember, it's not. It's not ours. It's not yours. It's not mine. And that should help us to make decisions about how we utilize the time God has given us. But let's get practical. How do we accomplish getting a better handle on our time? Well, I want you to think about it this way, that you need to corral your time. Yes, good, the picture showed up. You can take this picture mentally with you of all the little minutes and hours and seconds of your days and weeks and months in a corral. What do you think? Any of you got all your time in a corral? Nah. It's all running around out there. Who knows where it is? And we're just trying to herd some of it in. Well, that's what we need to get into control, is our time, to get it into the corral, which is not our corral, it's God's. The fence is God's will for each one of us. How do I get my time inside that corral? Typically, when someone talks about time management, we're told to categorize, prioritize, and reorganize. I've been through a few of those things. And at the end of the day or week or however long it is, I might have prioritized and reorganized and categorized, but it didn't last very long. So if I were going to go that way, I'd just say, you know, you should get enough sleep. You should get some exercise. You should eat right. You should study the Bible. You should worship. You could do good things for God. Anyone may be able to do those kinds of things. And some of us will have more success at that than others, but it's mostly based on our strengths of being disciplined ourselves, which that doesn't describe me. I haven't been a particularly disciplined person, so most of those time management things didn't work very well for me. I don't know how many times I've gone through one of those things, but I do know that whatever progress I seem to have made right quickly afterwards, it just faded and went away. So I'm going to throw out something else. I'm going to suggest a different way of looking at time and how we manage it and handle it. I'm a simple person, so for the first thing I want to do is just throw out all those categories. Yeah, we do all those things. You know, some of us do more of some of them, and some of us do less of them, and we do all those different kinds of things. But I want us to look at our time as just two possibilities: wait or go. I think that all the hours and minutes of all our days can be divided into one of those categories. How about you? Doesn't it feel like you're always waiting or going? And you've been seeing, as Pastor Brent already mentioned, this KG2 logo that we've been talking about. And that represents three phases of our Christian life and our life as a church: the know Christ, go in Christ, or know Christ, grow in Christ, and go for Christ. And I'm saying that what I'm talking about, wait and go, that no, grow, go, actually fits into those two categories. The know and the grow is wait. You're waiting on God. You're waiting with God. You're waiting to hear God. What do you want for me, God? And then you go. You do what he's telling you to do. So I think that fits well. And remember that the purpose of the waiting should always be to go. We need to know Christ and grow in him so we can go for him. Not just to know and grow as ends to themselves. The word wait implies a purpose. I'm waiting for something to happen or to do something. The purpose of the waiting is to learn God's will for me so that I can go and do it. But here's another little wrinkle to trying to merge together the KG2, the three boxes, and my way of looking at this, the wait and go. Pastor Brian, when he was talking about that, said that these three boxes are kind of a phase. You start in the know Christ, and then you move into the grow Christ, and you then go for Christ, and we should live in the go box. So I'm saying we should manage our time better by first seeing that we're waiting or going. And, you know, waiting, going seems mutually exclusive. And he's saying, well, you go through these things, but you're still growing in Christ, but you need to live in the go box. How does that work? Well, I think, and I think you'll agree with me, that we're usually really always doing both. We're going while we're waiting, and we're waiting while we're going. You might be at work, and you are going, 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 but you are waiting for 5 o'clock. Or you might be in the doctor's office, and you're waiting for your appointment time to come around, but your mind is going, going, going. Did I remember to do this? Oh, is somebody, am I going to be done in time to get to the next thing that I need to be doing? So typically, I think we are doing both, waiting and going, all the time. But if we're not conscious of how we're waiting and going, in essence, we're really doing neither effectively. we're not doing them with purpose, so that we are making the most of the time God's given us. We need to do both. It fits perfectly with Pastor Brian's statement that we need to live in the go, but we also need to live in the wait. In order to do that, we need to see it as wait and go, not wait or go. Wait for instructions. Who are we getting these instructions from? It's not me, not Pastor Brian. We're going to wait for instructions from God and then go. God's instructions will always include some form of go, do, act, not just wait. And then we need to obey what we've heard during the waiting time in order to hear more. That's just a phenomenon of the way I believe the kingdom works. If we hear but we don't go, we don't do anything with what we've heard, we dull our ability to hear more. If we go, if we act on what we've heard in our waiting time, then it sharpens our ability to continue to hear. They say that life is a journey. Sure, I'll go for that. So let's think about the wait and go like this. On the road, we encounter traffic lights, detours, stop signs. Depending on how long the journey is, we may even stop to eat, we may spend the night somewhere, but we're still going. We're still on the way somewhere. How do we corral our time so that we're waiting and going according to God's plan for each of us as individuals and when we do our part as a church? Well, first, I'd like to encourage you to aim high. Aim really, really, really high. And when I say that, I'm not just referring to corralling all your time, but make sure the corral is God's, not yours. The Ephesians verses I read said we should make the most of the time, but it started out by saying that we need to pay careful attention to how we walk, that's going, and how we go, it continues with what should be seen as instructions, understand what the Lord's will is, and be filled with the Spirit. That's being Spirit-led. Aim to be Spirit-led in all the minutes of all your days, of all your weeks, of all your years. Wait and hear God's will, then go do it. Do what His will is for you. We see this also in Ephesians 2:10 that says, we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. We're created to go, to do good works. But first, I need to be finding out from God, what good works have you planned for me? Which ones? There's a lot of options out there. I could fill my days up with doing good works, but it's not necessarily what God wants, and so it won't accomplish what He wants to accomplish. What works has He prepared for you to walk in? Jesus lived that way, being Spirit-led. He said He spoke and did nothing except what He heard and saw the Father speaking and instructing Him to do. He said He was leaving the Holy Spirit to instruct us. So as Jesus listened to the Father and did as instructed, we need to listen to the Spirit and do as instructed, being Spirit-led. Well, how can I be Spirit-led? Or how can I be more Spirit-led? I would say I am Spirit-led, but I'm not going to pretend that I do it 100% of the time, that everything I do is exactly what God wants me to do. I don't think even Pastor Brian would claim that. None of us, no one but Jesus, has ever or will ever hit that goal. But we need to keep aiming and going and moving in that direction and getting closer and closer as much as we can. I'm better than I used to be, but I want more. I always want more, because there's always more there, always more expected, always more available, always more that God has for us. And so we have to have that continual hunger. God, I want more. I want more of you. I want to hear you better. I want to do better. I want to follow you. To experience that, we need to spend some time waiting. Intentional, specific waiting, which basically what I'm talking about is listening. Listening for God's instructions, listening for where he's going to tell us to go. We want to not just go in any direction without having first waited and heard his instructions. And I'm saying that to truly make the most of the time God has for us, we need to get all of our time, all of our little clocks into that corral of God's plan. We need to be completely spirit-led, hear and obey God every minute of every day. As I said, no one but Jesus has ever done that, and probably no one will. But we want to keep working on it and getting closer and closer and closer. In order to do that, though we need to aim high, we need to start small. I admit that I'm laying before us a daunting task. And so the tendency might be to not even try. I'm never going to get that, so there's no sense in even giving it a go. But we start small and work toward it. And I'll tell you more in a little bit about what I mean by small. I mean small. And I think we get a tendency to, as Christians, as believers, focus on the big and want the big because God promises the big, and we try to skip over the little. That's the first step on the way to the big. So let's look at this. Let me show you another corral picture. Start by corralling a small portion of your time. You might think of that as an hour, but I'm telling you, you can do it in a minute. I mean, to start somewhere that you can corral it, that you can actually get that minute under God's control. Remember that the fence is God's will, and you think about this, that we're establishing a beachhead. I'm not a military person, and I don't know much about that, but what I've read, basically, if somebody's trying to conquer a territory, they pick a spot and they try to establish a base there that is under their control. And from there, they can go out and conquer more. Well, we want to establish a beachhead of time in God's corral. Don't try to tackle 24/7 at once. You might have some sort of overall plan, but start with one small time period, as small as it needs to be for you to make it consistent and do that. A time when you're going to wait on God, expecting him to speak to you. This idea of starting small to accomplish something big is not something I made up. It's biblical. Jesus told several parables about a time when a master was going away and he was leaving his servants in charge of doing some things for him, managing some responsibilities or some money. He gave different amounts. This master gave different amounts or levels of responsibility to each one of the servants. One of these parables is in Luke 16, and Jesus explains the point of the whole parable, what he was trying to convey in verse 10. It says, whoever, are you a whoever? Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. If you're faithful to do something in a little way, you can grow to be faithful in bigger ways. I had not had much success with this being spirit-led or controlling, having any control over my time until I started waiting, listening, specifically soaking in the scripture, just listening to hear God speak. But I started in very small portions. And then once I established that beachhead, it was able to grow. And actually, after doing that for a while is when God lit that scripture up to me. It's like, Start small. That's not just like, because I can't do anything big, I guess it'll be okay if I start small. No, start small. That's what Jesus says. If you can be faithful in very little, you can be faithful then in much. It's a universal, absolute truth. Whoever. And since seeing that, that was the instruction I got during the wait, I've been going. I've been doing that. I've been working on putting that into practice in different parts of my life. And there are still many things in my life that I need to apply it to, but also one of the things that's important to do, or is a valuable thing to do, is work on one thing at a time. Don't get overwhelmed by, you know, we all have so many things in our lives that we need to change. We all want to have total control over every minute of every day, but it ain't happening. So work on one thing. And what I have experienced so far in managing to gain control over some things, to get some things in God's corral that have been wandering around out there forever, has given me the confidence that if I keep working this principle, I'll see more positive results. And compare that verse to another similar parable in Luke 19. In this one, in verse 17, the master says to one of his servants who managed his property well, "Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns." Faithful over little, authority over big. That's power. That's control. You want to have some control over some of the big things, like the hours of your day, the days of your week? Then start with a few minutes. Make a decision that you are going to start spending a few minutes each day listening for God to speak to you, and then do your best to do what you think he's saying. And I say think he's saying, because it's not going to be automatic that you're going to hear a voice from heaven and you say, oh yeah, now I know I got to go do this. There's some trial and error, there's some testing, there's some assessing, you have thoughts, and then you have to kind of, okay, how does that line up with the Bible, or lots of different things. But then make an effort to go, to do something about what you think you're hearing. Well, developing a habit in small ways, enabling us to build a habit in big ways and gain control over big things, like making the most of your time. And I read a book that I thought was fascinating because the guy, I'm sure, didn't know it, but he was basically expounding on what this scripture just said. It's Stephen Guy's, and his name of the book is Mini Habits, Smaller Habits, Bigger Results. And it tells us a lot of things. It says, first of all, that 45% of our behavior is determined by habits. 45% of what we do in any given day is not because we consciously make a decision and choose. It's out of a habit. We do it because that's what we've always done. So make a habit of hearing God and doing something about what you hear. And remember, though, you can start in small doses. He actually describes this mini habits to help you understand what a mini habit is or what starting small might be. He calls them stupid small. Something that is so small, it seems stupid. And when I said I've done this in different ways, I have, you know, when I was trying to get into the habit of exercising, I started out by, I will get on the elliptical. How can I come up with an excuse to say, well, I don't have time to get on the elliptical. I'm too tired to get on the elliptical. There's no excuses. So it's easy to start a small habit and then grow from there, and I have, doing it much more often. I started out learning to and expecting to hear God speak to me, especially through the scripture. I started out reading small doses. I tell people this in the Bible training camp that I do, and especially that those reading plans that are typically people tell you, you know, here, read through the Bible, here's your reading plan, and you read through the Bible in a year. Who came up with that? What's the magic to reading through the Bible in a year? It's a recipe for failure. So I finally saw this. Start small. Okay, I don't care what the reading plan says. I'm not worried about reading through the Bible in a year, but I'm going to read something today. And so doing that, I made it a habit and then have been able to grow it from there. And it's not just a habit of reading the Bible, but I'm reading to actually hear God speak to me. The scripture that we read in Luke guarantees that if you can be faithful over something small, you will be faithful in bigger things. If you can be faithful in seemingly unimportant things, you can have power over big, important things. The science and the scripture always line up if we see them correctly. Have you ever said you're in a rut? What does that mean? It means basically you're just doing the same old things over and over and over again. Well, our brain creates what is an electric rut. When we do a habit, we do something repeatedly, it actually creates an electronic rut in our brain. That when we come to a certain situation, that rut is there and we go that way. So we need to create some new ruts in our brain. Only since we're talking about some good things, we won't call them ruts because that sounds bad. We're just calling them the groove. I'm in the groove. But you can start that groove and make that groove by doing easy things. Why didn't anybody ever tell me that before? I wanted to do these big things. I wanted to control all my day. I wanted to read through the Bible in a year. But you know what? The most important thing is to read the Bible. So I started with a little groove. And that became the habit. And now I rarely miss it. And most importantly, like I said, it's not just to read, but to know what, God, what are you saying to me? And actually, in this process, I have identified three main ways of waiting on God and hearing him speak. I'm not saying these are the only three. I don't know. I just have focused seeing these three. It's to soak in the scripture, not necessarily studying, but just soak in it. Read it. Think about it, let it marinate in you. Praise and pray in the Spirit. Start with one of those. Corral some of your time each day with one of those. Listening as you're doing it and expecting God to speak. And then you're not gonna, as I said, you're not gonna probably hear a voice from heaven. You're not probably not going to shake the ground or have this deep voice come and say, oh, Kathy, do this. You're going to have thoughts. Are those my thoughts? Are those God's thoughts? Are those, you know, my mother's thoughts? Are those, where did those come from? So there's going to be some assessing, some figuring out. So just jot down your thoughts and then consider to think about them. And maybe some trial and error. And do what I like to do. I call it, give God the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if it's not something totally outrageous, and if it's not something against scripture, then I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt. That thought might have been God. So I'm going to go with it. I'm going to do something about it. And again, not big. I'm not going to jump off a cliff. But I'm going to try to find some ways to take steps in the direction of obeying what I believe God's spoken to me. I've been working on this. As I said, I'm not pretending that I've got it all down, but I'm working on it. I'm working on growing and being Spirit-led. For a number of years now, I've had a habit and have established that habit of spending time with the Lord in the mornings and reading scripture, praising him, praying in the Spirit, and I get thoughts and I feel like I hear from him, and so then I'm trying to do what he says. Well, one day God told me, this is deep, you ready? Go to the mall. Now, y'all are probably thinking, what woman needs God to tell her to go to the mall? This one. I hate shopping, hate malls. Yeah, my husband and my sister-in-law are nodding their heads. Yeah, like, But it's like, was that God? Was that not God? Well, it's not against any scripture that I know of, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. So I went to the mall. Not only did I go to the mall, I started regularly going to the mall several times a week. And as I'm going, I walk through the mall praying, and I look for opportunities to talk to people. Now, I'm not a particularly outgoing person. If you are, maybe, you know, if you were a Johnny Clark, I don't know if he's here today, but you'd probably be talking to every person along the way. That's not me. But I'm working it. I'm working on God. What are you saying to me? So after a while of doing this and having some conversations with people, I felt like God was saying to me, go to the mall office. Okay, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt. So I went. There was a lady there at the desk, and I just said, you know, I just want to thank you for, what a nice mall. I'm one of the people who walks around here, and there's probably lots of us who do this, but probably nobody comes in and thanks you, but I really appreciate it. And I talked to her a little bit about what it might be like to try to keep a mall going in the days of Amazon, and she seemed to really appreciate that, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I didn't do it right there. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And so I left, and I have been praying for her. And a few weeks later, I felt like God saying, go back to the mall office. So, I mean, other things in between, but I went back and I said, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the crazy person who came in and said, thanks for the mall, and I'm praying for you, so I just want to know how you're doing. And I would love to be able to have a testimony to end this story by saying that, yes, I shared the gospel and she received Christ. Didn't happen. Don't know if it will, at least not yet. But I know that, one, as Pastor Brian often says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. She knows I care. And I'm stretching in my ability to be Spirit-led. One more important point for me to help you, enable you to corral your time. As I said, aim high, start small, and one more thing, do it together. Do this with other believers. And you may or may not physically, literally be sitting with somebody, both of you spending time listening to the Lord, although I admit that I do that, and we have groups that we do that, but that may or may not be the case for you. But at least have somebody else who is like-minded that you can share with. You can encourage each other, and you can say, how did that go today, and what do you think God's saying to you, and what are you doing about what you think God's saying to you? Philippians 3:17 says, join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. That's doing life together. That's how Paul said we need to live the Christian life. So let's wait and go together with others who are waiting and going. I said life is a journey. And when we're on a journey, even though we have to stop for some traffic lights and get something to eat maybe, and maybe even spend some night somewhere, we're still on our way. But we can get stalled, can't we? We can get stuck in the waiting. Maybe you're waiting for clarity, for certainty. Well, it's not God's intention for you to sit around doing nothing, basically, until you hear an audible voice from heaven. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Not the sitting around doing nothing, in case maybe I haven't quite got it. Take some steps. Listen for God. Take some steps. And then keep listening, and he'll keep directing. I said that we have, I am part of groups that we do this together. And one of them is the Bible training camps. Most people think that it's about getting you to learn what the Bible says, and it's certainly that's a byproduct of it. But the point of it is that we get together and we read the scripture together, and we listen for what God's going to say to us through it. We spend some time praising him. We spend some time praying in the Spirit. And this morning, we do this at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings and also Wednesdays at 6:30. This morning, as we were singing a praise song, and it was You Reign. And First, it was just that phrase that stuck with me, and I felt like God was kind of opening me up to something. And he said, as I admit, I was worried about my sermon, but I was trying to praise God. I heard you reign, and then I heard over my thoughts. You can even reign over my thoughts, God. But then it continued, if I'm trying. God won't bust in on your thoughts, but he'll move in if you open the door and spend some time waiting. Imagine back to our journey that you come to a traffic light and it's red and you stop, then it turns green and you just sit. You're not sure which way to go, so you don't go at all. Imagine in the natural world, you're going down Cherry Road and you come to a traffic light and it's red, so you stop, but you know where you're going, but you're not quite sure what the best way is, so you don't go anywhere. Light turns green, you sit there, turns red again, you sit there, turns green. What do you think is going to happen? Honk! You would have some people loudly helping to remind you that the purpose of the road is to travel, to be going somewhere. I don't have time to tell you, but actually this happened last night on my way home from work. Somebody in front of me, I really wanted to honk, but I didn't. Well, I just actually turned to Todd and said, "You got to hear my sermon tomorrow. That's in my sermon." Well, in the spiritual, it may not be that obvious. There may be no honking horns around you to wake you up to the fact that there's a green light and you're just sitting there. Not only not making progress yourself, but blocking others. Getting together with others who have the same purpose of waiting and going should help us to realize when we're stuck in the waiting. Or if we're going with no real sense of what's God's plan for me. We don't necessarily, as I said, need to spend physical time together with somebody doing this, although that's an option. But at least be getting together with others who have this same purpose, and we're sharing and we're encouraging and we're asking, you know, what's God saying to you? What are you doing about what God's saying to you? What are you doing, period? And are you sure that's what God's saying to you? Or are you just doing that because it's what you've always done? So this is about, ultimately, action. Go. Wait and go. Some focused, intentional, specific time for each. Also, wait while you're going, and go while you're waiting. If you're waiting and not going, then there's something wrong with your waiting. And if you're going without waiting, you may be doing a lot of stuff, but it won't necessarily be accomplishing God's will for you. So, aim high, start small, and do it together. Aim to hear God always, and always do what he says. Start small. Start today.